Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Movie Crush, the Mini Crush Monday edition with me, your host, Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and our co-host, Noel Brown.
Co-host with the mole host.
I went two-year-old all of a sudden.
It happens, man. It's still kind of early. Yeah, it's 10:15. You can still classify that as being morning times.
Could you imagine if we did a show, Noel, where we stopped and corrected all those stupid flubs?
No,
to make like a perfect professional show,
it wouldn't be what it is. It wouldn't be the Mini Crush.
That people demand.
People demand authenticity from us, Chuck. We can't go and slice and dice. You know,
Lord, I misspeak a lot and all. We made that decision very early on in Stuff You Should Know.
Oh, it's important.
Just to kind of make it as conversational as possible. If we mess something up, we'll just restate it.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, if we really fuck something up, we might do a retake.
Oh, same. Yeah.
It's pretty much just roll tape.
It's got to be. I mean, it is, there's different flavors of that for sure.
Sure.
Like with Ridiculous History, with me and Ben, we do these very short shows that are lots of info, and a lot of it is pretty important to kind of get right and move on to the next thing.
So right. It's a little tighter.
We do stop and start a decent amount. But with this kind of show, it's much more of a fluid,
organic,
orgasmic, dare I say, conversation between two bearded, burly dudes.
B&Bs.
Mm-hmm.
That's us.
Mm-hmm.
So, Noel, this week, we decided, meaning me.
Yeah.
Because you just show up.
I show up.
That's the only thing you have to do is show up and run your mouth.
Yep.
I got to put in the work.
I know, man.
Think of all these bits and segments.
Get that work. So, quick thing.
Okay.
David Diggs, friend of the show.
Yeah.
Guest of the show. Recently discovered he has a phenomenal experimental hip-hop group called Clipping.
Yeah.
Just want to plug their new record.
Sure. They got a new record out.
It's called There Existed a Thirst for Blood or something like that. Hold
on. Yeah. So, everyone, David Diggs, you heard on the he was a guest on the show. He was obviously shot out of a cannon to fame in a little musical called Hamilton. But he's a really good guy, and he was on Movie Crush. And if you were going to plug Clipping, we should also plug Bullseye with Jesse Thorne, our good friend and colleague over at Max Fun, because he is one of the great interviewers of our generation.
That's where I heard about Clipping, was David's interview on Bullseye.
Yeah, so David went on Bullseye, and he afterward told Jesse, or maybe it was even on air, said that was the best, like one of the best interviews that he had ever had.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And yeah, Clipping, the record, by the way, is on Sub Pop, and it's called There Existed an Addiction to Blood. People are kind of classifying it as horror rap.
Is it great?
It's really great, really cool, trippy production. Like they use the sound of like ball bearings and static. Ooh. It's very, very cool and really good good flow. The whole deal is he never refers to himself in the first person. It's always like from third person perspective and like a character kind of that he's playing.
Oh, interesting.
None of that like self-aggrandizing kind of hip-hop swagger. It's much more
like me,
story.
Me.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. But no, 100%, that Jesse Thorne interview, I heard it and he talked about Clipping and I didn't know anything about it. And I went and found it and have been a big fan ever since.
Well, Jesse is a student of hip-hop, really knows his stuff. And I sort of, 87 to 97 was my hip-hop years. Don't know much beyond that except for like Outkast and a little bit of the Atlanta scene, Goody Mob. But otherwise, 87 to 97 was my jam. And I've been listening to that stuff again lately. I don't know why. I've been listening like to a lot of Tribe Called Quest and
it's great stuff.
Jungle Brothers and Handsome Boy Modeling School and De La Soul and like all the stuff I used to love. And I played it in the car the other day for my daughter. And I was like, wait a minute. She's never heard hip hop before. Like I need to explain what's going on here. Because she's like, Daddy, what is this? And I said, well, this is called hip-hop or rap. And I had to explain to her the origins of it and the difference between that and, like, regular pop music and, like, in terms that she can get. Like, you know what singing is? like, this is a little different. Do you hear the distinction? And she did, and she understood it, and she thought it was cool.
It is cool, and it's fun. A lot of that 80s stuff, too, is super bouncy and fun.
Yeah. Jazzy beats. Good stuff.
Beastie Boys is super fun, too. Like Paul's Boutique and all that stuff. It's really great.
Back in the days when I was a teenager.
Right.
Before I had status and before I had a pager. She was like, what's a pager?
Oh, don't even get me started.
Oh, man. I still remember a lot of that stuff. I find myself, like, impressing myself with my memory of those lyrics.
I know every word to Ice Ice Baby. So that's where – those are my –
All right,
stop. That's my street cred.
All right, stop. No, you didn't – that was your cue.
Oh, collaborate and listen. Ice is back with a brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, feels like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I glow. To the extreme, rock a mic like a vandal, light up the stage and wax a chump like a candle.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other, a little
other brothers.
Can't deny. I used to know all that too.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle's own Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Indeed. That's right.
Seattle guy.
Pacific Northwest. And that's, well, I mean, it's not Seattle, but like David is Oakland.
Well, and Jesse is from San Francisco.
That's so right. Sure they were vibing about on that for sure. Yeah. Great interview. Definitely check that one out as well.
Oh, old school hip hop, Noel. Where are those movies? I want to see. I want to see the Tribe Called Quest story. I guess they did the
Straight Outta
NWA. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, we're actually working with the production company that made that movie on some cool music podcasts. TBD.
Interesting.
Keep an eye on that.
I asked Jake Brennan last night. When we were in conversation, Jake Brennan from Disgraceland on his new book, Disgraceland, and I asked him at the end what movie biopic, rock and roll biopic, that he would most like to see. And he said, I think he said Led Zeppelin would be one that he'd like to see.
That'd be cool. Starship. They had that crazy private jet, you know?
A bunch of people had that plane.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that very plane was Elton John
was
had
passed
it
around
after Led Zeppelin.
Did not know that.
Yeah, because it was all set up. You know, it already had the bar and the couches.
Right.
So when Led Zeppelin's done, they were just like, let's paint the outside Elton John's colors and throw a bunch of cocaine on the.
Yeah.
The bar was a mirror.
Of course
so
it was.
That should tell you everything you need to know.
Oh, it absolutely does. Yeah.
There was a piano.
Right.
In this fucking plane.
Uh-huh.
That's great. What movie would you most like to see?
I'm with Jake on Led Zeppelin because there's so much like devil worship and weird witchy stuff wrapped up in that.
Sure.
I know there's a Bowie biopic coming out, but that almost bums me out. I don't want to see that for
Todd
some reason.
Haynes already did Velvet Goldmine, which wasn't Bowie.
But I like that better.
That's what I'm saying. It was enough.
It's a Bowie-esque figure with an Iggy Pop-esque figure and then a Brian Ferry-esque figure.
Yeah,
but it wasn't like the guys.
Right
you
there.
Know? Biopics skeez me out in general.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a fan.
I like them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you see Rocket Man?
A couple of times.
Was it great?
I liked it a lot.
It looked fun. It looked like a real romp.
It's a musical.
Yeah.
It's not Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's cool.
It's a full-on musical.
I'm going to check it out.
I liked it. And I'm going to see Elton John again Saturday.
Oh, here in town?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Is it the goodbye for real this time Yellow Brick Road tour?
It's the same one. It's a 3-year tour.
Got it.
He's like, you know, I'm going to retire because I don't want to be with my children. So I'm going to do, you know, 700 shows over the next 3 years.
Sure. Yeah. That's funny.
Which is great.
Yeah, it is great.
And I just finished his memoir, which came out a week ago, and I read it in like 5 days.
Cool.
It's really good. He's very funny. Very funny writer.
Yeah. He was just on, maybe it was Fresh Air. I think it was Fresh Air. He had some really interesting things to say about like the AIDS epidemic, where he sort of missed it because he did so much cocaine that he had trouble performing, and he became more of a voyeur and like watching others.
Yeah.
And so he kind of didn't. He feels like cocaine both almost killed him and somehow saved his life.
Yeah, he talks about sex and sexuality in his book. He got a very late start on that kind of stuff. And he was in his 20s. And then he did talk about the fact that sort of during the heyday, and I think just as a person, was more into to watching people have sex than actually getting involved.
Yeah, absolutely. He talked all about that with Terry Gross, which was
I'm sure
an interesting convo.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Noel, we're going to get going here with a new melding. I thought, how can we get creative with Haiku Theater? And how about this, Noel? haiku trope.
Love it.
You like that?
Don't quite know what it is yet, but love it.
Well, haiku is the format. Right? The trope is your muse.
Osei.
Just let's see how creative people are here.
I'm making up words.
Osei?
Osei. Osei, can you see?
Here's a great example. People get it. Vito Aleo says, "You will regret that. Entire cast forgets that. That comes back to haunt." Get it? So that's the trope. The trope is you're going to forget that. Then everyone, of course, forgets it. And then that's the thing that comes back.
Give example.
All right, Noel. I'm just going to go on because this should not require this much explanation. All right, here we go. Surely you'll understand it.
Got it.
Our oldest of pals, KBO, Kelly Butler Olson. Bad guys wait their turns. Fight the hero one by one. So polite to wait. Do you understand that?
Yes, of course. Everyone takes turns getting their ass kicked.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, Noel?
Yeah.
Trope haikus.
This is good.
All right.
It's fun, though, because it's like, it takes a minute. Your brain has to wrap around the form of the haiku.
Your brain.
My brain is admittedly a less robust brain than yours, Chuck. But I'm doing my level best.
Hannah Corrali says, "There's a bump at night. No worries. It was the cat. Wait for five. Monster." Cat scare.
So that's the – you get the cat scare and that's the fake out and then the monster delivers the actual scare.
You know what's delivering, Noel, is the movie Crushers because they are so down with
this.
They're
really smart folks.
Yeah. Leah Mitchell says this, old friend, going to the prom, slow motion down the staircase, everyone in awe. So that's like a Pretty in Pink type thing.
Yeah, coming down. Maybe it's the first time you've seen said character gussied up in that manner.
Well, she took off her glasses. She's gorgeous.
Good Lord. Brought the hair down.
That's right.
Falls out in luscious locks, you know. Just tumbles down, you know.
Vanessa Lopez, one of the oldest of friends. Time to celebrate. Comically large cake appears. Splat. Cake everywhere.
Oh, gosh.
The old.
What a mess.
The old cake mess.
What a mess.
All right, Kristen Bitsagai, let's see what you got. Soft, warm, and fluffy. Brown bag, bike basket, our sole sustenance. Okay. This is a good one. You know what that is?
Mm-mm.
Come on. Soft, warm, and fluffy. Brown bag, bike basket, our sole sustenance. This is a bit of a deep cut.
Hold on. Oh, is it a rabbit? No.
No.
Marshmallow?
No.
Is it E.T. related?
I'm gonna narrow it down.
All right, give it to
me. What's the trope of what's always in the grocery bag?
Oh, it's the baguette.
Yeah, that's it.
That was what my brain went to first, but I was like,
soft, warm, and fluffy, brown bag, bike basket, our sole sustenance. Like, that's the only thing in the bag.
That's it.
Yeah, that's good.
That's very good.
And huge love and special shout out to both Kristen Bitsagai and Allison Gallagher. Allison lives here in Atlanta, and she has come out twice now for Fringe Movie Crush thing. She came out for the Hodgman thing and said hi and hung out with me and Emily and my daughter and FaceTimed Kristen while we were there. She just dialed her up and stuck the phone in my face.
Cool.
And Kristen was there, and we all kind of hung out for a minute.
Aww.
And then she came to Jake Brennan's thing last night.
That's lovely.
So Allison's wonderful. She's so supportive. Let me see here. Kevin Gordon, the knife is missing. We should take a look downstairs. He's right behind me. Not bad. The Danger Oven, Gail Kuntz, boobs, sex, gore, and guts. Tripping through the leaves in fear. Must be a slasher.
Yeah.
That's just a general slasher.
It's a general slasher haiku.
That's right. Good stuff. Our old friend Louis Silva says, takes... Here we go, Noel.
Okay.
Take her glasses off.
Yes.
She was always attractive.
Of course she was.
It works every time.
Boy, does it ever.
I'm surprised they haven't aped that for men. When a guy takes off his glasses.
I was about to say the same thing. But I also have a bit of a beef with this. I think girls with glasses are incredibly sexy. I'm a big fan of girls with big, nerdy glasses.
Yeah?
I just like it as a look, as an accessory. I think it's super cute.
Sure.
So to me, it's like, put the glasses back on. You know, I think you're – that's just –
That could be how you spin that trope is she has her glasses off and she puts them on and puts her hair up.
Exactly. Yeah. I like that.
David Barlow, one of our old friends here, the mirror gag. Mirror opens up. Nobody is behind you. Mirror closes. Boo! I don't know if I could do this. I'm sure I could, but this is very creative.
Yeah, it really is.
Because you're retrofitting something.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Very good job, movie crushers.
Beth Landers, no, don't go upstairs or down into the basement. Do you want to die? You know that there's a TV commercial that plays on the trope of the horror film. I can't remember what it is, but there's all these scared kids outside and they say something about going and jumping in the car. And the guy's like, no, let's go hide in that shack full of chainsaws and weapons.
Well, the big one too is running upstairs instead of leaving the house.
Yeah.
You run upstairs.
And I'd watch a lot of the slasher movies this month for the first time. And almost half of them had an upstairs run.
Right. I mean, I guess you justify it by you're in panic mode. You're not thinking. Your wits are not about you. You run up the stairs to escape, to hide.
I always leave.
And then you hide in a closet. And then there's the shot from inside the closet peeking through the slats.
Great. That slatted closet.
The slat peek.
The Black Christmas, Olivia Hussey, who was in the great Zeffirelli Romeo and Juliet that you probably saw in school.
Was she Juliet?
Yeah, no, she was Romeo.
Well, I don't know if she was another character. There's other female characters in Romeo and Juliet.
Name one.
Her maid.
I'm just fucking with
you.
The
mother.
She was Juliet.
Yeah, cool.
She was Black Christmas, and there's one scene where she doesn't run upstairs. She is at the front door, knows the killer is upstairs, and, like, could just leave. And she wants to go, like, help or investigate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gets the fire poker and goes and walks upstairs.
Who's she helping?
Well,
somebody else up there?
Yeah, there are other sortie, she thinks. I mean, I don't want to spoil it. But.
Well, then she's the final girl, obviously, in this scenario, right? So she's the badass. She's the one.
I didn't know the whole final girl thing. That's how out of it I am when it comes to slasher films. So Annie explained all that to me on the round table.
She's the one that just is like left and it's her job to slay the dragon, basically.
Yeah, but there are so many other layers to it that I didn't know. Annie said they usually have brown hair and like there are all these weird little specific details.
I probably don't know those deep cuts, but in general, my understanding is they usually are badasses and they kind of deliver comeuppance to the killer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. The final girl. I got to do some more research on that. Very tropey. All right, here's another baguette one. Rob Reel. They still use paper. The baguette is sticking up. They just went shopping. I like the other one better.
Yeah,
sorry.
The other one was a little...
Patrick Gorman, one of our old pals, says, hotel, food, and gas? I do not need those, you see. Cross-country, easy. Oh, I guess on road trips, like, you never see anyone
eating
or getting stopping. Gas or staying in a hotel, unless that's part of the plot point.
Well, and as it should be, I would say. You can fill in those gaps yourself.
Fair enough. Here's another one, Noel. Minal Datta says, nerdy young woman. Slowly removes her glasses, is suddenly hot.
That's the most basic description of that you could possibly. I mean that as a compliment.
Sure.
To fit it into the haiku form.
Yeah, agreed.
And that was
kind of perfect.
Very well done.
It was almost like a bot had written that.
Yes. A haiku bot. Is that a thing? There should be a haiku bot. I'm going to Google that.
Let's do one more. Let me see here. Oh, here we go. This is a good one. Top fan and old friend, Kat Giambruno. Train through a tunnel, two lovers see eye to eye, metaphor, oh my. You know that old bit, Noel.
Oh, yeah.
Two people are making love.
Yeah.
Train goes into the tunnel.
That's right.
You know what that means? It's like a penis.
It's a penis.
And a vagina.
Yeah, it's full penetration. The New York Times has a haiku bot.
Boy, my daughter's been going crazy with vagina talk lately.
What?
Yeah. She's been making a lot of statements and asking a lot of questions.
That's interesting.
That age.
Yeah, these kids these days, they grow up so fast. I always think of the scene in Kindergarten Cop where the little kid says, boys have a penis, girls have a vagina.
Yeah.
It's an iconic moment.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that moment exists 5 times a day in my house.
It's the one that taught me the difference was Kindergarten Cop.
Sure.
Yep.
We use the real words, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
You don't say pee-pee and
I say pee-pee for fun sometimes.
Oh,
just,
yeah?
Just among my friends.
Right.
I say, you know, I have to go make pee-pee.
Oh.
Yes.
Out of your pee-pee.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Noel, we're going to move on to the Baconator.
Mm.
We love our Kevin Bacon. And this is very easy, Noel. Just list your favorite Bacon performance. Not movie, performance. Do you have one?
I'm going to need a minute.
All right. Alex Cavanaugh, one of our old friends, says The River Wild. The Baconator makes a great baddie. He's also adorable in Tremors, though, so it's a tie. Very true. Neil White says Stir of Echoes, very underrated all around. Barry King, he did a commercial in the UK for Apple where he dresses as Britney Spears in a red cat suit. Probably the most surreal performance by any actor. Wow.
He seems pretty game.
That is not in the United States.
Surely not.
No, I have not seen that.
I have not either.
But I'm going to look it up because that sounds great. He is very game.
Yeah, he really leans into the whole 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing. Yeah.
He seems like he's got a good sense of humor.
I think so,
and
too.
It's just sort of a normal. I mean, he's been married to he and Kira Sedgwick have been married for many, many years.
Right.
He just seems like a level-headed.
He seems
normal.
Good. He seems good, yeah.
Yeah. Let me see here. Trevor Halperin says, I'm going to have to agree with Christopher Walken and go with Footloose. I see what you did there, Trevor. Very nice. My poor friend John Pendel, saw him in New York. One of my old pals when I lived in New Jersey. He was fooled by the Christopher Walken thing, and I felt bad. He thought it was real.
I mean, you know, nobody's out to hurt anybody's feelings here with these things.
Of course, his feelings weren't hurt. He thought it was funny.
A little ruse.
Brandy McCabe says, tie between Stir of Echoes and Murder in the First. Both times he was so unbelievable. Or I'm sorry, he was so believable it was scary. Yeah, he can play a good baddie. It's interesting because he's such a well-liked guy. It's hard to make that flip that switch. Austin Handler, one of our old pals, says, I really liked him in A Few Good Men. Really great supporting role. His performance took me out of seeing him and as an actor made me concentrate on the character. Not an easy task. Cashman says, come on, Footloose, of course. Iconic. Great movie.
Good dancing.
Jimmy Kuykendall, one of our old pals. Yeah, I'm glad someone said this one. She's Having a Baby, one of my favorite movies growing up. Probably my introduction to heavier adult-themed comedies. And Bacon was awesome, along with great use of the Kate Bush song. Yeah, Jimmy. I was one of those kids that loved the shit out of that movie and still cry. I mean, I'm thinking of that Kate Hudson song and how it appears and how it's framed in the film, and it just, like, chokes me up even thinking about it. Mike Toomey, Taking Chance. Taking Chance? Is that a movie?
I don't know this one.
Can you look that up real quick?
I will.
Never heard of it, Mike.
Let's see. Taking Chance.
Michelle Loduca Sass says Footloose. My go-to slumber party movie.
It's a historical drama.
Oh, yeah?
Based upon the experiences of Marine Lieutenant Colonel Michael Straub. It cuts it off
okay.
On Wikipedia.
Michael whatever.
Michael Straub. Oh, it was Strobel. Yeah, it didn't really cut it off. It did cut it off, but it was actually, it was the whole word.
Noel's figuring out the internet, everyone.
Oh, my gosh, you guys.
That's so good. You know a movie I haven't seen yet that is on my list is Cop Car. That's supposed to be great.
I don't know Cop Car.
It was a little indie he made a couple of years ago, and I think, again, he plays a bad guy.
He's a bad cop.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a Training Day-esque situation.
I think, like, these kids steal a cop car.
That's right, and then he's after them. He's like the maniac cop.
I really got to see that. Jill Wellington says, Sleepers, chilling performance, frightening, and evil man. God, he does play a bad guy a lot.
I liked Sleepers as well. That was actually the one that I was thinking
yeah,
of.
Yeah, that's a good film.
I enjoyed that one.
Steiner, our old friend Chris Steiner, says, Friday the 13th. I forgot he was in that.
The first one?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah, he was one of the young campers.
Uh-huh.
He's been in a lot of
Does
movies.
Does he get killed?
Oh, I'm sure. He's not the final girl.
I don't think so. You're right.
Ryan Dixon says, Footloose made me fall in love with him. For sure. Anthony Noor, old friend, says, Stir of Echoes. Beau Shoemaker, Mystic River, except for that one scene where he and Lawrence Fishburne are supposed to be drinking coffee, but it's so obvious that their coffee cups are empty.
Well, that's a trope, too.
Yeah.
That's a thing where it's like, that's, you know, it's easier. You don't want to have hot liquid in these cups.
Sure.
But you have to act as though there's, you know, a weight. Of
yeah, that is hard to do, I think, and probably the old suitcase bit, like, you know, the empty suitcase.
Right.
That should be heavy. It's hard to act like something's heavy. You know what I would say if I was an actor? Say, put some shit in that suitcase.
Put a couple things.
Yeah, weigh down a little bit.
Put some sort of, put like an Apple box in there, you know?
Look at you with the terminology. Yeah. Whitewater Summer. And that is from Aaron Cerullo Stepp. He played Vic in Whitewater Summer. I guess one of two movies.
Not familiar.
That he played a Whitewater guy.
I haven't seen this, but my dear friend Frank really loved it in the book as well as a series called I Love Dick.
I didn't see that. I heard it was good.
I've heard lots of people say it was good. Based on the memoir of this writer, I believe, this kind of like who is more of a professor at a university. But it's supposed to be really great.
Yeah, check that out. Cop Car, there you go. Philip Ashworth says Cop Car. Got a bunch of Tremors people. Joshua Fish, Dustin Chassard. Another one. Oh, I Love Dick. There you go. Stephanie Brown. And then we're going to finish it off with a movie called Hollow Man.
Yeah.
Did not see that. The Vito Aiello says Hollow Man.
Sort of a Invisible Man ripoff kind of.
Yeah. Didn't see it.
Did not either. Maybe I did a long time ago, like when it was out.
Yeah. I'll check it out. It was who directed that? Was that like Paul Verhoeven or something?
I think it was. Good
seem
memory.
To remember that. All right, Noel, we're going to finish up with a little comment card. We haven't taken questions in a minute, and I actually pared these down so we could get some good ones. This is from Jose Burns. Will you take a stand against bad theater patrons and do the shush, or do you suffer in silence? Do you shush, Noel?
I shush. I'll at least turn my head, and I won't shush. That's
so what's your move?
Style.
Break it down. Give me the sequence.
The hard head turn. And like,
how many talks is this? Like
four?
So if someone says like four different things, yeah. It's clear that they're going to be a problem.
It's going to be a problem.
Then you will do what?
I just do a hard head turn.
Right at them or the side?
At them.
Eye. Okay.
At them. And just be like.
Okay. Just for those of you at home, Noel just raised his eyebrow and his hands as if to say, what the fuck, bro?
Right. Have you been to the Alamo Draft House?
Never.
So they have a thing that they announce very clearly at the beginning of each, before each feature, that you can narc on your neighbors for talking. Because in the same little slip of paper that you use to order booze and food, you can tell the attendant who is talking, and you will be ejected and banned for life if you do it more than once. They take that shit very seriously.
Man, that is how it should be.
I agree.
So do I shush? Oh, I think for most of my life I was a non-shusher because I am more apt to either move or just to not be confrontational. Like my concert move is always to leave where I'm standing. If I'm next to that guy at the show,
right,
or that lady, the super drunk person,
right,
I used to just stand there and get mad, but now I just move.
Yeah,
I remove myself from a bad scene.
If that's an option,
because that's what I have control over.
If that's an option,
yeah, like if it's not a reserved seat,
right,
sure,
but especially if it's a reserved seat and I've paid, you know, a premium to be there, I've certainly got a lot bolder in my. Cranky old age.
You want to hear something egregious
that
is going to piss you off?
Sure.
My friend Stacy Molsky, one of my Max Fun friends, and she works for the Max Fun organization. She in L.A., she just posted she went to, I don't know him, but I've heard of him, Frank Turner is a singer. She went to a Frank Turner concert, and the fucking guy behind her played a harmonica to the songs.
What the absolute actual fuck.
Whenever he felt like it, even songs that didn't have harmonica, he would add his own.
I would have taken that shit away from him and threw it into the abyss.
It would have, yeah. I mean, I would have not handled that myself. I would have gotten a person that worked there and said, this is ridiculous.
Right.
You've got to get this guy out of here.
You got to get out of here, yeah.
Can you believe that?
Oh, no.
Who thinks that's okay?
Like, bro, you're not famous.
Oh, my God.
No one came here to hear you with your amateur hour harmonica solos, renditions of this singer that I've never heard of.
And it was John Popper. No.
Well, then you see, that's the problem with John Popper.
He's got 18
other ones. You take it away. You throw it away. He's got this vest just loaded
just
with harps.
He reaches in his gun belt. Oh, boy.
That's funny, man.
So, yeah, do I shush now? Maybe, but it's always just so dicey these days because, like, you don't know who's
holding.
Yeah, even if they're not holding, who's going to blow up at you, and then all of a sudden it's that fucking scene.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Escalate. Yeah, you don't know.
Can we all just be normal?
Really quick, I want to take the temperature of a thing that happened to me. I was on the plane and I had an aisle seat, and the middle seat was vacant because I was one of the first to board. And then the guy comes to the middle seat, and I get up, and his girlfriend's there, and she goes, "Excuse me, do you mind if we trade seats so I can sit next to him?"
Because she was in another row.
She's in another row, but then I go, "What's your seat?"
Yeah, sure. You got to ask.
Was it
middle?
It was middle. And I said no.
Yeah, dude.
But was that like horrible of me?
No.
I just, I probably in the past.
I have a
would
very
have just,
firm stance on this.
Would have just acquiesced. But I'm like, I took the effort to get the seat that I wanted.
That's right.
You guys didn't plan this very well.
Or
you
we're
know?
Not able to. And it's just like.
And it's also like a 1.5 hour flight.
Yes,
you can handle not holding hands for one.
You
one,
are okay. 100% right. You should not feel bad.
Okay, cool.
That is tough shit. I'm sorry you don't get to sit next to your boyfriend.
I'm sure they had a magical weekend after that.
But you cannot ask somebody to sit in a middle seat.
No, that's a downgrade.
That's a downgrade. You shouldn't even ask. Bad on her for asking.
Agreed.
Unless it was just like, I just thought maybe you might like a middle seat, but no one does.
No, I wasn't rude about it. I literally said, honestly, I'd kind of prefer not to have a middle seat, and I left it at that. And she was, you know, whatever.
Okay, if she wasn't an asshole, then that's fine.
She wasn't an asshole, but I felt like I was an asshole.
No,
I
you were
said,
not
okay.
an asshole.
All right, cool.
The only time where you should consider that is if it's like
parent and small child,
or maybe some elderly situation.
100%, I would have done that without thinking.
Yeah.
This is a very young, spry,
but BFs
couple.
No. All right.
Cool.
I think we can all agree on that.
Moving on.
I'm getting a little worked up because.
Yeah. I thank you.
I'm an aisle seat guy. And, you know, some people have, I don't, but some people have legit, you know, claustrophobic considerations of not being stuffed in a middle seat or by the window. I'm not one of them. I just don't like it. All right. We're moving on. Anne-Marie Bermudez Medina. What a mouthful of great name.
Bermudez Medina?
Anne-Marie Bermudez dash Medina.
That's amazing.
Isn't that fantastic?
I love that.
I'm Chuck Bryant. You're Noel Brown. How boring is that?
You're Charles W. Chuck Bryant, son.
Whatever. What's your full name?
Noel Christian Brown.
Oh, all right. I like the name Christian.
Good Christian boy.
What movies that involve food have you enjoyed? Movies that serve as a platform for a more intricate story. I really like Chef, Ratatouille, and Today's Special. Anne-Marie, I have one with a bullet that we have talked about on this very show, and that is the movie Big Night. Wonderful movie that I had the Stranger Things guys on to discuss that. And Big Night is wonderful in every way and makes you very, very hungry.
What was that one? Chocolat?
Sure.
People like that one?
Juliette Binoche?
Like Water for Chocolate?
Or was that Juliette Binoche?
That was Juliette. Well, no. I think maybe
Chocolat?
Both.
I can't remember.
Chocolat was Johnny Depp and a French person.
I think Juliette Binoche.
I think it was Juliette Binoche.
Is she in all the chocolate movies?
I think she's in all the chocolate movies. Charlie and the Chocolat Factory.
That was Juliette Binoche.
That was also Juliette Binoche. She was Willy Wonka.
Uh-huh.
Real Oscar caliber performance.
Let me see here. Stellan Carlson, one of our oldest friends, has a really good question, Noel. What movie have you seen the most times? I don't even know.
Gosh.
I wish I had a counter that had an actual factual answer.
See, that's the thing that, like, it used to be that I would watch movies over and over again. Now, not so much.
I could guess.
I could probably guess. Probably something like Fight Club.
Mm-hmm.
From back when I would obsessively watch movies over and over again, the ones that I bought on DVD very early on would have been Seven, Fight Club, American Beauty. I've probably seen many, many times.
I saw that a bunch.
Pink Floyd, The Wall. Seen that quite a bunch of times.
And your drugging days.
My drug-induced haze days.
Oh, boy. I mean.
Seen Hedwig and the Angry Inch many times.
Is he going to come on the show now?
I'm going to get him on the show.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Jaws has got to be up there.
It was Roman Mars had a number.
Oh, that he had
I
seen.
I thought it was at least times? An estimate, and it was quite high.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, Back to the Future. I've seen all those movies a lot. Wonder Boys.
That's a good one. Gosh.
God, I've probably seen that movie at least 10 times. The very problematic Woody Allen film Manhattan. I've seen a lot. Annie Hall, I've seen a lot. Maybe Jaws, though.
Yeah.
Because Jaws is one of those that I feel like I watch it every year. Easily. Maybe twice. Good question, though, Stellan.
It is a good question.
I wish I did have a counter. Wesley Baugh asks us both, Noel, what kind of hi-fi equipment do we have in our homes? And what are some of our favorite records?
Ooh.
Well, Wesley, I have a new setup now. I've had Sonos for a while.
Yeah.
Which giveth and it taketh away. Like, it's great. But, you know, you're dependent on your Wi-Fi.
Right.
So if your Wi-Fi is fucking up, then your music is down. Mm. Which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But I have a system now, Noel, and I believe I've told you, where I have a turntable that plays through Sonos.
Cool.
So it's wireless. It's the future.
Yeah.
You can put a record on, and wirelessly they beam that somehow into your Sonos speakers.
That's great. Yeah, I'd love to get something like that. I just have a classic old-school Sony tuner, and I've got some really cool, like, wood panel Magnavox speakers from the 70s that I really like.
Ooh, I bet they're good.
I've got a really tight it's not a Technics. I think it's a Gemini turntable. It's like a DJ, like heavy-duty direct drive turntable with a really nice DJ Stanton cartridge or whatever. Sounds really good.
I wish I could remember my turntable brand. Oh, it's direct drive and has a nice cartridge. Can't remember. I'll have to check that and plug it because it's great.
Yeah. No, I'd love to get more of a wireless setup like that as well, especially now that I've got a nicer TV and doing more, you know, home movie viewings.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't even have the TV pumped through my hi-fi because the speakers on these TVs you get out of the box are pretty okay these days, actually.
They're okay, but
I know, Chuck.
Still not the same as a
I
good,
know, Chuck. I'm going
to just get a sound bar at least.
I'm going to get a sound bar.
You can get a pretty good sound
That's
bar
a
for
good idea.
A few hundred bucks.
That's a good idea. It's hard for me to choose favorite records, but some that I've bought recently were, let's see. What did I get recently that was – oh, I bought the Electric Light Orchestra, Out of the Blue. I got a copy of that. And, I, you know, Mr. Blue Sky obviously is incredible and hugely featured in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. But that whole record is just a delight from front to back. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's just fun. It's just a good, feel-good, fun album. I got that and I got a Marianne Faithfull record that I really like, and Dusty in Memphis, the Dusty Springfield album.
Ooh.
I absolutely adore. It's got Burt Bacharach arrangements, and it's just so
Elton John talks a lot about her. They were good friends. Writes a lot about hanging out with Dusty Springfield in his memoir.
Cool. She's fantastic.
Yeah, she's great. So, Noel, I went record shopping in New York City, and my favorite part of New York. What's your favorite neighborhood, by the way?
I do like the Village a lot.
Village?
The East Village?
Greenwich Village.
Yeah.
Greenwich Village is the West Village.
What's the East Village?
East Village is East Village. And then right below that is Lower East Side.
I love Lower East Side in general. Mm-hmm. I love Tribeca.
Sure. Downtown. Generally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. West Village all day long for me.
And that's where St. Mark's and stuff is, right?
St. Mark's is East Village.
Okay, that's the area I'm more familiar with.
Yeah, Tompkins Square Park, St. Mark's.
Yep,
St. Mark's is great, one of the great streets. That's where, like, over in that area is where, like, CBGBs and—
Of course, Bowery. Yep.
West Village was a little more like Greenwich Village folk poet beat.
Is that where Village Vanguard is?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh.
I was there as well over the weekend.
Generation Records is where I went on Thompson Street.
Nice.
Took great care of me. And I got, they had a bunch of Pavement, man. So I don't have Pavement on vinyl. So I got Crooked Rain, I got Wowie Zowie.
Cool.
And I got The Secret History Volume 1, which is a double album compilation of like B-sides and stuff. And then I got, because I was on my way out, and then I just saw they had a special edition 180 gram Kid A Radiohead.
Good one.
And it's just – Radiohead is such a fixture in our house.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to put it on. I bet it sounds so good.
I got the full – the deluxe moon-shaped pool vinyl.
God, that album's good.
It's so good.
I need to get that one.
It's really, really good. Straight through.
Yeah, totally. They're the best.
They're one of my favorites.
You've seen them live, right?
Many, many times.
Yeah, same here.
I didn't tell you this story. Like my mom, when I was – 11, 12 years old, right when OK Computer came out, I was visiting my mom in New York. She was singing. She was like, you want to go to a concert or something? I picked something out of the, you know, the city pages or whatever. And Radiohead was playing at the Hammerstein Ballroom.
What tour would this have been?
It was right when OK Computer came out.
Okay.
They never played a room that size ever again. It was like the Hammerstein Ballroom was maybe 1,000 people, maybe less.
I bet that was great.
And I saw, and it was filmed for MTV Live at the 10 Spot. Uh-huh. So I can now go
Live
on YouTube.
Live at the 10 Spot. That's what it was called.
So I can go on YouTube now and watch this iconic concert for my 11-year-old self that I was there. It
very
like
cool.
blew my mind.
They're always great. I never miss it if I can help it. Zach Schupping, what's the best barbecue restaurant in Atlanta?
There's a really good one down the street from me now called Woods Chapel Barbecue.
Oh, yeah?
It's in the Summer Hill area, which used to be kind of dead right next to Turner Field.
Okay.
And now it's getting really revitalized since Georgia State University now took ownership of the old Brave Stadium.
Right.
And so
they're doing the revitalization that never happened for some reason.
Why did it not happen when the actual Braves were playing there? Yeah. It's so strange. So now there's this Woods Chapel Barbecue. They do a really good barbecue turkey breast situation.
Interesting.
And they have like a really good pimento mac and cheese and really good potato salad and brisket and all the usual.
Where are you living these days?
I live in Grant Park. I walk to this place. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah, I forgot Grant Park sort of butts up against it over there.
Totally. It's right there.
And I miss the stadium being down there. It sucks.
I know.
I used to go to games all the time.
It's so far away now. Yeah. But I don't know. They knew their audience. I think a lot of people were coming in from Gwinnett and
the right move for them.
It seems to be working out for them for sure.
But it didn't work out for me.
I know. Sweet Auburn people love as well. That's
Sweet Auburn's good. I'm a community barbecue guy over in Decatur. It's good.
And of course, Fox Brothers is iconic. People love that. But you think it's overrated?
No, I think it's good. It's just so hard to get a table and parking is a nightmare.
Yeah.
So I don't go there ever. But that's a fun place to take out-of-towners because the actual experience is nice.
Yeah.
Community is in a shopping center, but it's just the food is so good.
Nice.
Best mac and cheese I've ever had.
Nice.
And the brisket is off the charts.
Cool.
Good stuff. By the way, I remember Emily. Remember the movie I watched on the plane from the last episode?
Oh gosh, I'm bated breath.
It was Long Shot, the Charlize Theron Seth Rogen movie, romantic comedy where Charlize Theron plays a presidential candidate,
right.
Secretary of State, and presidential candidate, and he plays a scruffy old friend from childhood who becomes a speechwriter, and they fall in love.
Clearly, super memorable.
It was actually good. Okay. I just couldn't remember.
Yeah.
It was good. It was like a plane flyer.
Uh-huh.
Again, like I love Seth Rogen.
Yeah,
love
he's fun.
Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
So like let's check it out.
Absolutely.
And it was actually good.
Did you guys like watch it same timesies?
No. She didn't watch it at all.
No, okay.
She was doing work on her computer.
Got it.
We've done that before though.
One earbud a piece?
No, just like let's cue it up at the same time and
cute. You can also get a splitter. You can bring a little headphone splitter.
Yeah, but then you're watching on someone else's CPAC.
Also true, Chuck. Also true.
All right, we're going to finish it up, Noel, with our old pal Vanessa Lopez has a great question. If you could double date with any celebrity couple, who would it be? This is a tough one, Lopez. So my first instinct is Dax and Kristen because I've met both of them and they're both pretty great.
They seem delightful.
And Emily and I both adore both of them. So that would be one, although it would be really hard to not go for SJP and Matthew Broderick. They're one of our old faves. And we're actually, they're in a Neil Simon play together starting next spring in New York. And we're going to go up and see that.
Cool.
Because they're the best.
That sounds great.
I don't know. You know who else is? I'm a closet Justin Timberlake fan.
He seems like a fun guy.
I think he is. And he's a Memphis boy, which are my roots. And Jessica Biel, I have a lot of respect for her because she's really, the earliest part of her career, I think she was just another pretty face as far as Hollywood was concerned. But there was a lot more going on there. And now she is making really good stuff on her own. She's one of those women in Hollywood that's like, I'm going to go out and form my own production company and make my own decisions about my career. And she's really into podcasts. She's a huge podcast fan and is adapting is it Crimetown or Limetown?
Limetown.
Is the
one that they're pushing now for Hulu, I believe.
Yeah, and that's hers?
Yeah.
That's the one she's doing?
I believe so.
I get those confused. I know. I don't listen to either one of them. I must be Limetown.
No, it has to be because Crimetown is the guy. The Crimetown guy is like – he's I can't remember his name, but he's a
– Yeah, it's Limetown.
Yeah.
But she's – I read an interview with her, and she just seems really cool. She's way, way into podcasting. It's one of her favorite things, so that's kind of neat. So that might be up there. I bet they'd be a fun double date. Or Krasinski and Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, Krasinski. He'd always be looking off in the camera, smirking.
Are you listening to Office Ladies?
No, but I love both of those women so much. And
it's fun.
And the thing about The Office, the reason this is a genius idea, infinitely rewatchable.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could call my Netflix subscription a fucking The Office subscription.
Yeah, like, it's still one of my late night, just sort of like
comfort shows
put on in the background while I'm doing something.
It's just so good.
Yeah, it's a good show. I think they'll get their legs a bit more. I think it could be a bit more conversational.
Got it. I haven't listened yet. I know it's been number one with a bullet for a minute now.
I recommend it. I like it. They're both adorable and smart and fun and cool. But I think once they get going a little bit more, they seem just very they seem so excited to be doing this together. I think they just need to relax into the conversation a bit more.
That's
my only critique.
Got it.
But it's fun. I like it a lot.
I'm looking forward to checking it out.
What an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So perfect. Wish we could have gotten that show.
Would have been fun.
Let me see here. Who else? Jeez. Who would you want to have dinner with?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, I love Elton John so much. I would go to dinner with Elton and David Furnish, his husband.
I don't know about who.
But I mean, he's not a celebrity. But
that doesn't matter. Yeah, that's the thing, though, right? Does it have to be a celebrity power couple?
Well, I think that's the question.
Okay,
Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively—that'd be fun.
See, I don't know Blake Lively really very well.
I don't know her other than seeing a couple of her movies and thinking she's one of the most beautiful women on planet Earth.
Sure, she is. She's
so
very,
I would not mind sharing a dinner
basking
with her.
Basking in that glow.
In her light.
Yeah.
And Ryan Reynolds is just the best.
He seems so funny and legitimately
he seems like a
gentleman and or a scholar. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to pass on this one.
All right. You know what your answer should be, Noel?
What's that?
Is fuck that. Who cares about eating dinner with celebrities?
Yeah. Who cares about eating dinner?
I want to eat with my friends.
Yeah.
People I really know.
Yeah, my celebrity friends.
All right. Great question, Vanessa.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Great questions all. It's fun to be back in here again, Noel. And we will let's end with a whimper.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.